Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. This is one of your hosts, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table is Adia Sanders. Adia, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. How's the rest of everybody else?
Fine, thank
good,
you.
We're good.
Thank you.
And we also have here with us Mama Mary Ann Williams,
yes.
What we call her Mama around the table. Mama, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, thank you, and just want to say good evening to my PRF family, and welcome, and welcome, and welcome.
Amen. And so if you've been with us for the last 3 weeks, you know that we are in this really deep, impactful series called Your Health is Your Wealth. And we have with us, once again, Ms. Kimberly Silas out of Atlanta, Georgia, that's here talking with us about reshaping this whole thing about fitness, finances, and faith, and getting on the path to retiring wealthy and also healthy. So without further ado, we welcome Kimberly Silas to the show. Kimberly, good evening once again.
Good evening, everyone, my PRF family, and how are you?
Fine,
we are
thank
wonderful.
You.
We
doing
are wonderful.
Good. Excellent. Thank you so very much.
We're just going to go ahead and get right into it. So because if you've been with us the last 2 weeks, we don't have to do too much of the introductions. But if you're new, we just say, look, join into the conversation, join into the dialogue. If you want to say something and you're listening, just press 1 on your dial pad. We'll see you light up on the switchboard. If you're listening to us or following us online, dial 347-215-7934, 347-215-7934. All those same instructions, because we want to hear from you. And so we're talking about your health is your wealth. And Adia, I don't know if Adia has a recap from last week. If so, go ahead, cuz. If not, we're gonna let Ms. Kimberly Silas start us off this evening.
Well, I do, and I'm so excited to be back at the table, because truly, when you realize that you have a seat at the table, you understand that your voice is relevant and that you're significant. And so just to give all of our listeners a recap, Kimberly, you know, started out, you know, just like Seabiscuit. She came out the gate strong, and she talked about doing a 21-day detox. And included in that 21-day detox, we want to ensure that we're praying and meditating, that we are looking within, because we understand that we are giants. We also want to ensure that we have accountability partners, people that are going to support us as we go through our 21-day journey. But also, it's not just the 21 days of detoxing and what it is that we're eating or not eating or drinking or not drinking, but it's also time to reflect on who we are and how we fit into our world and our community and our neighborhoods and the people that we are surrounded by. And additionally, you know, Kimberly blessed us so much as she continued to talk about the just even the mental part, you know, of if you've never done this before, you may not be able to do the 21 days but at one time, but being able to break it down, maybe start off doing your 5 to 7 days and pushing through and then doing another 5 to 7 days until you know it, you've done a complete 21-day detox or 21-day fast. And so last week was very powerful. We looked at, you know, what are our habits, you know, and are we committed and are we willing to be on board for the entire time of our 21 days? And one of the things that she brought up was that 21 days is attainable. You need to recognize where your strength comes from and use that as your foundation to push you through. And so we're just thankful for her being with us on today. We thank you for her passion. We thank you so much, Kimberly, for your zeal. And we are thankful that we are able to look within ourselves to be able to pay it forward and share with others as we create healthy habits, healthy choices, and learn how to eat the elephant one chunk at a time as we honor our bodies. So that's all that I have for a recap. I'm just so glad to be back at the table on tonight.
Wow, that's good. See, nobody can do it like Adia. Nobody can do it like Adia. I tell you, I love being able to sit back in the background and just watch God work. So listen, one of the things that I want to do, because I don't want us to go too far in tonight's show for those who are listening without giving two scriptures that I think is really, really relevant to everything that we've been talking about. And one of them is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And the other is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. So 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19. And these are really simple scriptures. They're simple when you read them, but it takes some work to take them from off the page and implement them into our lives. So what Paul says is, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit dwelleth in you?" I like how the New Living Translation says it. Don't you realize? That's to get our attention. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God? Puts it in a whole different context, because it's not just about me. When you read in the King James Version, which is one of the first one, remember, he's not just talking to one person. He's talking to the churches at Corinth. So don't you all realize together that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Powerful, it's impactful, but it should be a scripture that puts everything into perspective of what we've been talking about. When we talk about your health is your wealth, it's not about what you can get. We know that wealth is not something that is for us to just keep and us to hoard. No, you do that with riches. But wealth is supposed to be passed on. That's what inheritance is about. And so my passion is I just want folks to be a whole lot healthier, because we've seen in a lot of communities and in several cultures, and I can say mine in particular, that when people are not healthy and they don't have wealth, it's a recipe for disaster, and it extends through generations. So I'm praying that what we've been talking about, how we've been dialoguing over these last couple of weeks, that there's some people out there that the light bulb has gone off in their head and in their spirits and in their hearts, for them to say, you know what, I have to do something different, because at the end of the day, it's a true statement. Your health is your wealth. So with that, that's my little 5 minutes or 2 minutes and 32 seconds. Ms. Kimberly, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? Please talk to us.
You know, Dr. Dunlap, I am good evening, everybody. Yes, it's me, Kimberly, and Adia, you are awesome. You literally set the stage. You calm anxiety. You bring forth the spirit, and I am so appreciative of you. I am still on my 21-day detox. I am thoroughly enjoying the process, but so much has transpired in my life that I am literally a different person than you spoke with on last Thursday. If you will allow me to open up a little different, I just want to say that the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. And my Father loves me and has my best interest and welfare at heart. Bear with me, family, if my voice begins to shake. I am committed to following through this process, but I really need to share with you the difference in me this week. On January 18th, 2017, yesterday, my eldest living brother transitioned from the family. He was called home. And we have been devastated, to say the least. This is a man that doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. He is a pillar of his community. He was ordained on Saturday as an elder in his church. He was passionate about loving and sowing into the lives of others. And I have questioned God on this week repeatedly to why. And I was sharing with Dr. Dunlap that I didn't want to be disrespectful in his memory. And I was also concerned what others would think of me. Why are you posting this particular platform at a time when your family should be grieving? But I know the dynamics of my family. I would totally and wholeheartedly believe that this is something that he would have wanted me to do. And if he were here, he would tell me that procrastination is unacceptable. You will be on that call and you will pour into whichever. If you only touch one, I need you to go speak to that one. Dr. Dunlap is, for me and the PRF table, blessings of the Spirit. This is a family that has been very supportive, not just in me mending and healing my finances, but have rallied to my aid to continue as support in my zest for health and wellness. And in honoring the legacy of my brother, I intend, Dr. Dunlap and my PRF family, in honoring the legacy of my brother, I intend to do this as my ministry for the rest of my life. It was so unexpected. I wrote in my journal recently that, God, I need clarity. I need vision. I need you to give me right instruction. And I put it on tablets and I made it plain. And I told my mother on the following day that God is going to reveal to me in Kairos time, you know, unexpected time, what my calling is to be. And it was that very following morning that it was announced to my family that my brother transitioned. I felt depleted, defeated, broken and alone. And these are fleeting thoughts and feelings that come into my core. But I am tenacious and I am a fighter, and my brother's life will not be in vain. I will honor his legacy with every fiber of my being. And what really broke me is that something that has been taught within my family dynamic is that we are blessed by the opportunity to be gainfully employed. We all have had that prayer when you're en route to a job interview where you're saying, God, if you just give me this opportunity, I will honor you. But when we're on that job, you find very quickly that you are not being paid or awarded your true worth. And so that prayer kind of fleets away into the distance and you become innerly passionate about finding another obstacle to satisfy that financial need in conjunction with honoring your personal gifts. And this is a conversation that my brother and I had just less than 48 to 72 hours ago. It's about never shun the giver of the gift. God blesses us. We ask for jobs. He gives us jobs. And then we get that job and realize that I am so much more than this. So you never shun or disrespect the giver of the gift, but you can always aspire to be more and do more. And I think what's welling up in my spirit on today, right now, is to break the poverty mindset. I literally have found myself check to check, week to week, bill to bill. Check to check, week to week, bill to bill. And it's a continuous and vicious cycle, Dr. Dunlap. We must incorporate healthy behavior that would foster a platform for growth. And a lot of times I find that we probably make enough to sustain. We probably make enough to tithe and do savings. but we are our expensive tastes outweigh our income. Does that make sense? We're overspending and not properly managing or preparing, and that's where I'm at right now. It's where are you applying your spending? What the motive is behind your spending, and are you stunting in your wealth? Wanting to live like the house next door, wanting to drive what the Joneses drive, wanting to wear the best of everything, but you don't have that 3 to 6 month savings. Wanting to have the red bottoms, but you don't have any stock. You know, where are we going as a people, and why have we gotten so far off track? And I'm speaking to myself as well, because Dr. Dunlap, I could have a weeks-long yard sale and probably not miss half of the stuff that I got in this house.
Right, right.
These things are not important. Things are nice, but they're not of the utmost importance.
You know, we've already had conversation about it, and those of us on the team, but I will say, and if anybody else has anything, you know, please, we want to just continue to flow in the Spirit of God. But I'm going to just tell you, the way that you are not just honoring your commitment that you made, Kimberly, but the way that you're honoring your brother, it's only God that allows you to have the strength to be able to do that. That's it. And I think about what you said, how you're just going to continue to press on. This is not about a radio show. So for those who may be listening for the first time, this is about how we do things as family. And just, again, think about that scripture. Paul was writing to the churches at Corinth. He wasn't writing to an individual. So when we realize the things that we do, the way God blesses us, where our wealth is, how we spend our money, how we purchase things that we may not need to purchase, all of that has a profound effect on the people that are around us, primarily those who are our immediate family members, before anything else. And so I think I really want people to understand that there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. Mm. And I'm going to just ask people to, you know, do a Google search. We know that's what everybody does anyway. But do a Google search and look up the definition. This is homework. Look up the definition of rich and look up the definition of wealthy. And then look up different definitions, not just one. And I heard this saying a long time ago, and I continue to use it and say it. Rich people scream. Wealthy people whisper.
Wow.
Let me tell you. When you don't have life insurance, folk start to scream when they get $5,000 because somebody said left them some money. But that section of our population, white, black, Asian, it doesn't matter what their nationality is. When those individuals get $300,000 and $400,000 of life insurance, or granddaddy or grandmama leaves them a big old house, or they leave them some 100 shares of stock in Cisco, they don't go screaming it to the world, because something has been taught to them in their culture. I remember, I'm just telling you. So in one of our courses, I believe it's in Will You or Will You Not, I asked a question. If you had a child and you had two children and you had stock in two different companies, and you leave 25 shares of one particular stock to one child and 25 shares to the other, it seems like you've done a fair thing because you gave both of them 25 shares. But when one of them has so much more value to it that conflict to come between those two siblings. It's all of these type of things that we have to be so conscious of. And when we talk about health in particular, my goodness, that is one area that I can't even, I'm not even going to say it's a silent killer. It's screaming loud to us as people, primarily in the church. Primarily in the church. I'll throw this out there to us, and please, let's talk about it. We just got on this show tonight, the way Kimberly has come out being so real with us, gloves got to come off. At least they're coming off me. Y'all keep y'all gloves on and do the patty, you know, patty punches. The gloves is off with me. People don't realize, or maybe they don't care. I don't know. The things that we are purchasing as people that are not healthy for our bodies is a contributing factor, Kimberly, to stunting our wealth.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to say our well, to stunning the well. You know, when a preacher gets up, and I say it all the time, I hate for preachers to get up in the pulpit and call out one sin or call out the political sin that's in the political sphere. But let me just throw a couple of things out here. And it's because I love you, and it's because we know it's a problem. There are some things that are not healthy for our bodies. That's acceptable in society, but totally goes against 1 Corinthians 3:16 and totally goes against 1 Corinthians 6:19, which I didn't even read. Let's do one that's normal. Cigarettes. Nobody fusses and fights and talks about it in the church. You hear more talk in the church about homosexuality when churches don't even have nobody that's living that lifestyle, but got 20% of their members that smoking cigarette and or dipping. So if we're going to deal with this thing, we got to deal with this thing right. Let us please be real with whatever it is. And let's put the financial piece into this. And I'm going to shut up. Or I'm going to just be quiet for a moment. The financial piece is this. How much does a pack of cigarettes cost? These are questions I want folks who smoke. That's not just spending money. This is not just about spending money. It's about the health piece that comes with it. My grandfather just died the day after Thanksgiving, or one of my grandfathers died the day after Thanksgiving last year. When he was diagnosed and had to get the name of it, but where you put the voice box, right? So we're still able to talk through that. He lived like 20 years with that. But that altered his lifestyle. He outlived almost everybody except for his last daughter, mine. He outlived his wife. He outlived my dad. Hey, I'm going to ask if everybody could maybe mute your phones if you will. But he outlived them. But it all came because he smoked. He smoked. And at the end of the day, I mean, even with that condition, he still got around faster than us.
Yes.
Still got around fast. Mama, you know I'm telling the truth. Where he used to walk up and down them steps, like, man, he's moving. He's something years old. And you got folk 40 years old can't walk to the mailbox.
Amen.
Come on now. That's real. That's what people are really going through. So when you take a pack of cigarettes, again, I need folks to do the math. Do the math with whatever it is that you're putting into your body that's not healthy for you. So whether it's cigarettes, whether it's those $20 cups of coffee, whether it's Coca-Cola all the time or some other type of caffeine, whatever it is, I want you to start doing the math. Because, see, if you don't see it, I can tell you all day long about it. But you're not going to see the piece where it comes into effect when it comes to how it's affecting your wealth. and let me say this, and I'm going to be quiet, I think. It doesn't matter if you can afford it or not. That's not the issue. So let's get that out the way. That we're not just talking about folk who can't afford it. I'm done.
You're done, Dr. Dunlap. I don't believe it. I was sitting here when you said rich people scream and wealthy people whisper. I had to quickly jot that down. This week I was studying on resources and finances, and a friend of mine shared a video where this young lady, she is an investment counselor, and she is where I said we're buying red bottoms and Coach bags and leather suits and driving $80,000 cars on a $50,000 income. And she said that wealth and money are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. And wealth is a mindset. Wealth is an understanding of how economics operate. And money is a form of resource to interact with currency. And she said that the money represents a donkey, but the wealth represents a racehorse. And I thought that analogy was so incredibly insightful, because when we have a donkey, we know that a donkey generally carries a load, and it'll take something from one place to another, and then we let it rest, and we feed it and give it a little water, and then we have it move something from one place to another. That represents the money. But the wealth, being the racehorse, is a prime specimen. It is just one of the most marvelous specimens that was born as a champion. It was born as a leader, and no matter what you do with it, you don't even have to teach it to race. You don't have to teach it to be strong and statuesque. It already innately knows to be that. It's the way God designed it. And educating the mind on how important it is to properly utilize your resources. And no matter whether you're wealthy, no matter whether you have riches or not, every day God sets the same sun in the sky, and he fills the universe with the same level of oxygen for everybody. So we're all given the same 24 hours and the same opportunity that everyone else is getting. But we seem to believe that I will be inadequate or inept if I don't leave my house with a Coach bag and red bottom. That I'm not doing what I'm not the person I should be because I don't have this. And I really soaked all of that in, because I personally believe on a spiritual level that God wants us to live in total abundance, that we should not be in bondage to anything, and that resources should not be a hindrance for us, that we should be able to get anything we want, like the Garden of Eden. Everything you need is right here, and there should be no limitations. But I believe the limitations and the restrictions we place on ourselves because we are not accountable stewards over our finances. And oftentimes in the church, people say, well, I'm a consistent tither, so I'm covered. We appreciate you consistently tithing, and yes, you are covered for a great many, but the other 90%, what are you doing with it? Are we part of that red bottom crew? And I love fashion. That's just some of the that's just something that I like doing. I like creating. I like to create. I like to design. And I appreciate fashion, but are we loving these things to the degree that we are not proper stewards over our finances? And Dr. Nate, as you said it, are we stunting in our wealth? Are we driving this $100,000 car on a $30,000 income? You know, we can go get financed for anything if your payment history is on point, and they believe you're going to pay these $500, $600, $700, $800 a month. they may say, okay, her debt to ratio is good. We're going to give her this and let her remain in bondage for this vehicle for the next 60 months. And before those 60 months are over, we're going to offer her another deal so that we can get her in for 60 more months. And it's just stunting in your wealth. These are things that we don't own. We're just leasing an image. So I really, really, really thought that was powerful because, again, I know that I have not always been an accountable steward over my finances because I'm single without children. I felt like my money was my money, and I can spend, and I have the privilege of doing what I want. And it has only been in this season of my life that I have been willing to take an accountable look at what areas can I be more impacting in my savings and in my spending.
You know, I love the subject of tithing. And when you said that, it reminded me, or brought back to my remembrance, Matthew 23. And you say, look, I think what I heard you say was, hey, we appreciate the fact that you're tithing, right? What about the other stuff? And see, this is how sometimes folk get so biblically ignorant, but they think they're biblically smart. Everything, Jesus couldn't say everything about everything. So you got to have some common sense, right? So when Jesus mentions certain things in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, when he mentions certain things, it doesn't mean that nothing else goes along with it. It only means that that particular event was what he was dealing with. So let me give it to you like this. Jesus said to the Pharisees, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees. Hypocrites, you're so careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faith. Yeah, you should tithe, but do not neglect the more important things. This is how you can be biblically ignorant. If you never deal with the more important things, you can't tell me that your body is not the more important things. So the fact that you're giving tithes every Sunday or every time you get paid, but you're still wasting money with the other 90%, means you're missing it. And if Christ was on this earth, I can easily hear him saying to us as a population, we ain't talking about anyone, we don't got to talk about anybody else outside the church, just to us. Oh, what hypocrites, pastor, minister. You're telling folks things that they need to do. But what about you? You're telling folks they need to get their houses in order spiritually. But what about their physical houses? What about these temples? But here's the reality. If you're unhealthy, it's less likely that you're going to be talking and teaching and preaching on health, especially when it's visible. Especially when it's visible. This series that we're having is called Your Health is Your Wealth. And if the body of Christ does not deal with the health concerns, let me tell you, there are so many people that God is calling home right now. Some of them have health conditions. Some of them it's just their time. But let's deal with the ones who got health conditions, especially as known. We can't wait as a people until something happens to Big Mama. We can't wait until that time and then do something like, oh, my goodness, Big Mama in the hospital. It ain't looking good for Big Mama. Big Mama got insurance. Now we got to try to find somebody. Oh, Big Mama in ICU. Can we call Kathy? So Kathy can come do a will. Because you know them children ain't going to agree on nothing. God is looking at us like, are y'all serious? When y'all going to stop this? And see, for some of y'all hear me saying that. But y'all don't realize I'm dealing with this stuff every day. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm telling y'all what's reality. And I'm like you, Kimberly. I got to do my part. I'm PRF until I die.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when I do die, y'all know y'all better keep it going. Because it ain't just for a season. This is lifestyle. So, again, for me, I really want everybody to take an inventory. You talked about the 21 days, right, last week, Kimberly?
Yeah.
21 days. Okay, so 21 days. What can you do? What can you cut out? What adjustment can you make for 21 days? See, that's different. That's not popular, Kimberly. What's popular is the New Year's resolutions. Ain't nobody talking nothing. It ain't but 19 days into the year. When the last time you heard somebody talk about the New Year's resolutions? Because it's already gone.
It was good during watch night service.
It was good till the school year started. It was good until people went back after the holiday. But it's over. We have to do things that are practical. We have to do things that are real in our lives. And we have to address what's in our communities. I'm tired of seeing people go through the same thing over and over and over. Had a conversation with somebody the other day. I'm not going to say the whole story. But the bottom line was something was presented to somebody as a thought. Hey, we're considering doing such and such. But the person couldn't see it. And I had to tell the person who reached out to that individual and say, this is evidently not the people who you're trying to reach. Excuses don't work anymore. Excuses don't work when people are in the hospital. Why didn't you have insurance? Well, and here's what happened. People see how we live. People outside the church see how we live. And then when we die, people know how we lived. They know it. They know if we have insurance. They know if we have a will because of what happens after that. So I'm screaming from the rooftop. I mean, we live in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm screaming from the new rooftop. We have to do something different. And all y'all who have been listening, who know we're not saying anything that God is not pleased with, know it. You got to go to the places where you know you have influence to say we need to get the whole thing. The PRF table, this is only a small piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you never sit down and be taught, all you're doing is listening. All you're doing is listening. But do you really hear? Adia?
I'm here. I'm here. I've been tweeting and posting on Facebook because so much has been said. That definitely resonates with me. And, man, those red bottoms, I'm like, shoot, I don't even know how much they cost. But
100.
See people out there with them. Oh,
absolutely, thousands.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Woo. But you know what I like, and that was said, it's definitely a lifestyle. And sometimes I don't think people are in a place to where they can look at themselves and say, this is where I am. I may not really quite understand how I totally got here, but I accept where I am, and I'm ready to make a change. And that's what a lifestyle is all about. It is something that becomes who you are. And a lot of times people are chasing, trying to be like somebody else. And I don't know if I said it last week or if it was just in another conversation, but if we focus so much on trying to be like somebody else, not even realizing or not even knowing what that person went through to get to where they are, then we're kind of living a fantasy. We're not living our own reality. And I think that when it comes to lifestyle changes, when it comes to taking an inventory, people just need to understand that the process in and of itself is not supposed to be pretty, because we have to own our truth. We have to own, you know, that we don't like getting up in the morning to go walk, that we're not ready to give up, you know, the jelly beans, that we're not ready to give up the cigarettes, that we're not ready to give up the alcohol or the weed or the porn or the lying or whatever it is that is causing us and hindering us from being our true selves, who God destined and ordained for us to be. But in order for us to come into alignment, we have to do those things that aren't always popular. I was reading an article, and it was talking about being vulnerable and how being vulnerable is not a bad thing like we make it out to be. Being vulnerable means that you understand and recognize and accept your emotions, that when you get upset, you accept it. You don't try to justify or excuse it or to say, oh, you know, I didn't mean to do that, but you accept it because something really made you upset. And so I just think that it's time for us to really just to be honest with ourselves. Kimberly said it, you know, from day one, you know, until she realized, and I can speak for myself, until I realized, you know, that there are some areas in my life that are just not, that doesn't bring out always the best in me, I have to deal with it. And I think that's a part of our of having a healthy lifestyle, is taking the bitter with the sweet, the good with the not so good, and being able to embrace all of who we are, and not just the good attributes, not just, you know, that everybody tells us we, you know, we have a beautiful smile or how bold we are or how confident we are, but that sometimes, you know, we can just downright get on people's nerves, or sometimes, you know, instead of turning down the plate or eating 20 chicken wings, you know, we just need to eat 10 and mm-hmm. discipline ourselves to say, you know what, I'm going to live a different life because I make the decision to do it. And I think the biggest thing that, you know, that we've been talking about for the past now going on 3 Thursdays is having an accountability partner. I just think that sometimes people are scared to let other people know who and how they really are because they're worried about being judged. They're worried about being criticized. They're worried about the sarcastic remarks. And as I've been going through my 21 days, those are 3 areas that I have been looking at with Adia that I had to face to say, you've been judging, you've been critical, you've been sarcastic, you know, so that when I acknowledge it, it's something that I know that is there's nothing fraudulent about me. I acknowledge it so that when I can check myself in that area. And that's what I think a lifestyle change does. It checks you in that area where you really don't want to be checked in, where you really don't want people to check you in that area. And so I'm just, man, I want us to just be real with ourselves. We hear that and we say it, but we continue to turn back away from the mirror. And I believe it's in, 1 Corinthians 13, where it says the man who looks in the mirror and walks away, you know, he forgets who he was just that quick. He saw every flaw, saw all the strengths, saw all of the weaknesses that he had when he looked in the mirror, but then he walked away and forgot all of that stuff, you know, and it's time out that we stop looking in the mirror, acknowledging, seeing exactly what we're, the reflection back that we're seeing, and just walking away like everything is good. Because I always tell, you know, people, hey, if you got life so together, can you please write a New York bestseller Times, because I'm over here struggling. I need help. You know what I'm saying? If everything is always good for you, can you please help a sister out? Because life ain't always good for me. I've had to cry. I've had to apologize for things that I've said and done. And so I need some help, you know. And so I would just, to all of our listeners, you know, I just want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, is, you know, to make the lifestyle change, you know, and like Michael Jackson, the song that he said, you know, you got to start with the man in the mirror. You got to start with the man in the mirror. That is the lifestyle change, starting with you. And, yeah, I'm just going to pass the mic. Mama.
Yeah. I was sitting here thinking of several things, but what really have come to my mind to share was that I've been told a lot, for years and years, you know, Marianne, you eat too much sweet, too much sweets. And I was even at a function, and this person really didn't know me, but this person says, Marianne, you eat too much sweets. And it just went over my head, you know, and this for years and years. Well, make a long story short, when I got diagnosed with that I had diabetes, it just threw me into another world. I mean, it just did something to me. And as we're talking about health, I look back and said, you know, it was a time in my life that I could eat anything I wanted. And so it is so much better of us that, you know, are overweight to really take a look at what we're putting in our bodies, because it will catch up with you. And if I go out to functions, I see people around me, they're just eating pretty much what they want. And I can say, now, see, that used to be me, but because I could not discipline myself, or I really just didn't take heed to what was being said to me. And now it's like I'm in a box. You know, I have to stick myself, see what my blood levels are. If my head is hurting, I have to make sure that it's not my blood, because sometimes my head hurts and my blood is low. I mean, it's another world. And I said, you know, it would have been so much easier for me to have really taken, you know, really just not just listen, but hear what was being said to me. Just hear, because now my life has completely changed. Completely changed. And mm-hmm. And I noticed that if you don't, you know, I have talked to other people with diabetes, and they don't check their blood or anything, and they don't watch what they eat and do anything. And I said, now, this is why there's people blind and no legs and things of that nature. And so, like you said, I looked at myself and said, that's not going to happen to me, because I didn't discipline myself before. And thank God that the diabetes, I don't have to take the needle. So I thank God for that. But if I do not discipline myself and do what I know is right for my temple, it may not be a needle. I might just have a stroke. Mm. So it is important what we put in our bodies. And on the PRF table, this is just an information center here for our lives, which is our possession, resources, and finances. If we don't have good health, I was sharing with my son today. I said, today, I was so sick today. So I told, because I was feeling so bad today, now I'm watching my blood levels. And my blood levels were good, but something's going on, and it's the result of the diabetes. So I say to anyone that, you don't want to have to go there. And people that are obese, you're going to end up with diabetes. And not that you're going to have high blood pressure, because they're just, it's like a family. Because first, I had the high blood pressure. Then the cholesterol kicked in, and then the diabetes. So you're not going to, I'm not going to get any better if I don't discipline myself and at this scripture and realize that my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. God mm-hmm. is inside of me. And what am I feeding him, so to speak? And yet still, when these things happen to me, I'm praying, you know, God, give me strength. God, give me strength. Or sometimes I get that spirit of fear on me. You know, and then I have to pray that off. I mean, that's not the kind of, this is just not the way God wanted us to live. He said, I wish above all. He wish, because he's not going to make us do it. But he says, I wish above all that you prosper and be in good health. And I work, have done domestic work and gone in some beautiful homes where the husband and wife is so sick. And I look around here and they can't even enjoy the prosperity that they have. So so this is really good about our health. You know, it's nothing like your health. And I thank God for the health that I have. But this is my fault. Don't blame anybody. No, this is my fault. But you know something? I got it now.
Mm-hmm.
I got it now. I'm disciplined now. Praise God. Amen.
Praise God. Yes.
And now, listen, I want everybody to understand, this is not a beat-down session. Sometimes we speak from pain. Sometimes we speak from guilt. We speak from shame. We speak because we just didn't make the right decisions. So nobody should feel condemned just because we're speaking truth. Here's what we want you to do. Here's what I believe God wants you to do. I'm going to take another line from that song, Adia, make that change. You and only you are the only person that can make the change. I can see somebody that's not living healthy all day long, but I can't stop them. And one of the things that's so critically important, Mama, if I can take what you said, as you brought it up, about eating, right?
Yeah.
Again, this series is called Your Health is Your Wealth. Let's go back and think about right now, you know, thank God you don't have to do, you know, certain things. But let's think about if you didn't have any type of health insurance coverage.
Yes.
But you had a savings. But you needed that medicine.
Yes.
That money is going to come out of your savings. That savings affects what you can no longer pass on to your children's children. It also affects what you can't take care of in an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back a little bit further. What about all of the money that was spent with all of the junk food?
Yes.
See, sometimes, and that's just that one example, be it cigarettes, be it caffeine, be it ice cream, be it junk food, whatever it is, there's a dollar amount that's attached to that thing, which is affecting and stunning a whole bunch of people's growth. We're not talking about just messing up money. We're talking about making healthy decisions versus unhealthy decisions that play a significant role later on. For some people, they don't get it until 20 or 30 years down the road. And here comes this whatever it is. Right? I mean,
yes.
We're looking at that, and we're saying to folks, look, your family deserves better.
Yes.
Dr. Dunlap, if I could interject.
Please. Please.
Mama said that she said, I got it now, you know, I made these poor choices, but I got it now. And now that I know better, I'm going to do better. And it called to memory a series that I was a part of some years ago where it said, thank God for crop failure. Thank you that we were not charged for life for the choices that we've made. Whenever you sow into something, you expect an outcome. If you plant corn, you do not expect wheat to harvest. So at the time, I was thankful that I didn't end up stuck with this man for the rest of my life. I equated that series to my personal relationships. But now when Mama was saying, you know, I've done all these things and my health has suffered significantly, but I thank God now that I've got it, it brought up the mind that we have to learn to thank God for our crop failure, because you can read it in a book, but there's nothing like real life experience. And through that experience, you develop the conviction for application. And it also brought up to me how we can do this. If you can't do 21 days, do 14. If you can't do 14, do 7. If you can't do 7, try 24 to 48 hours. Because making healthy decisions doesn't come naturally, but by us consistently trying. The crop failure series focused on when you make a mistake, promptly admit it and go the other way. And being recognizing when we are at fault. Mama said, I am responsible. I did this. I'm not holding anybody else responsible for where I'm at. I did this. And that is paramount for when we're trying to get better, because we can't keep saying, well, this is all they sell at the grocery store, or this is what they cook, or this is the way my family. No, this is what I've done. And when we recognize and take full and wholehearted accountability, we're able to say, okay, I've done this. It didn't work. I am willing to repent and go the other way. And that was so huge for me. And something else that I studied on this week, I wanted to share with you this evening, is that these principles, whether you're trying to lose weight, save money, invest money, free yourself from debt, break an unhealthy habit, you can apply the same principles, the same format in any area of your life. So often when we fall, and when I was sharing with you on the first week, I would lose 40 pounds and gain back 60, lose 60, gain back 100. And when I would do that, I would say, oh, I'm a loser, I'm a failure, I'll never get this right. But what I forgot is that you've made some amazing strides. You've learned what worked and you've learned what did not work. So all you have to do is start practicing better habits on the things that you recognize that did work. Do the things that are working and move forward until it becomes a healthier habit. I'm really good at keeping my body cleansed, replenishing myself with energy. I'm getting more committed to going to the gym. The weight is still coming off. My skin is glowing, my hair is growing, and I feel phenomenal. But I have to be honest, Dr. Dunlap, I want my financial portfolio to take care of my, I don't have children, so I'm speaking on my nieces and nephews, but I want my grandchildren's grandchildren to benefit from the work that I've done right now. My physical body is not designed to last forever, and eventually it will wear out. But I want my grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren to reap the benefits of me being here today. And I was reading something, and if you would allow me, I want to share it with the table. It says, sure. The simple difference between a rich person and a wealthy person is that a wealthy person has sustainable wealth. In other words, a wealthy person will always be wealthy, whereas someone who merely is rich will only be so for a short period of time until the money is gone. The difference between wealthy and rich is very simple. It's knowledge. Wealthy people know how to make money. Rich people only have money. Once you know how to make money, you can build sustainable wealth. The money never stops coming. If you have a reversal of fortune, it's not a big deal. You just make it back. And the reversal of fortune is the crop failure. When Mama was saying, I did this to myself, and she quickly said, okay, I got it now. Once we know what to do, we just do what we know to do. The reversal of fortune won't debilitate or paralyze us. So I am just, it's like a light switch. It's just constantly coming on every time I come to the PRF table. I just get a new burst of energy and a new thirst for the greatest me I can be. And I am just elated.
Amen.
In today.
And what I believe is we're about to go over an hour, but I don't care. Listen, something that, oh my goodness. Think about what you just said about you don't have any children, you're not married, and you said my children's children's children. You said more than what the Bible said. The Bible said just to the children's children, to the grandchildren.
Yeah.
But we can't be biblically ignorant. Because if God blesses you with all that he's blessing you with, it has to go to somebody. So it would be a thing of ignorance not to be thinking about somebody and somebody else and somebody else. Even if you didn't say children, you know, your nieces, grandchildren, even if you didn't go that far down the line, it has to. The whole thing with that scripture in Proverbs 13:22, and not the whole thing, but one important thing is, it says good people or a good man. Good people do this, leave an inheritance. So let's just stop there.
Yeah.
We ain't got to go down to, we don't have to go any further past grandchildren, but can we at least just be good people leaving something for somebody?
Yeah.
How about we leave not having a funeral bill? to your mama. How about a good person doesn't leave a funeral bill to their daddy, to their son? That's some of the stuff that we got to deal with. And so many people don't even want to go to the rest of the scripture. There is more. That's only the A part of 13:22. The rest of it says, but the sinner's wealth is laid up or stored up for the just or for the righteous. I think King James may say, and the wealth of the sinner. Now watch this. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children and the wealth. So that's two different things. So one is you're a good man, you're leaving an inheritance, and the other is dealing with the wealth piece of the sinner. So God is ready to bring the wealth of the sinner, because sinners do have wealth. God is ready to bring the sinner's wealth to us, but he's only going to store it up. It's up to you to go get it. He didn't say God is going to give it to you. He said it's stored up for the righteous. It's stored up for the good, for the just. So the question then becomes, are you going to go after it? And one of the greatest things that we can all do to go after it is to make sure that we're as healthy as we possibly can be, that we're not sabotaging this whole thing. Go ahead.
Dr. Dunlap, I noticed that the scripture does not say the riches of the sinners. It says the wealth. Remember, there's a difference, the money versus the knowledge. Absolutely. The rich people only have money. Once the money is gone, they're no longer rich. But he said going after the wealth. The wealth is the knowledge and knowing how to do it. Mm-hmm. So he's transferring the whole knowledge behind it, behind getting resources. That's powerful.
There may be somebody who is wealthy, but is not living in any way, shape, or form for God to get any glory. But they're wealthy. Call him a sinner. Say has not accepted Christ. You could say that. But they got what they have. I mean, they have what they have, right?
Yes.
That should stir up something in some of us. A whole bunch of y'all listening. You know what? Hold on. The Word of God says that there's a whole bunch of sinners out here who have wealth and is laid up waiting for the righteous. Some of y'all should be saying, well, hold on, I got to get that. Ain't no need of letting it sit up there with them. Ain't no need of letting it just sit there and nothing can happen with it. It's like looking at the storehouse and you hungry. And you see all that grain just sitting up there for 50 feet up in the air. You just see it and you're just not going to do nothing about it. You got to go get it. But I'm telling you something, this whole notion of health, you can only get but for so long. Because our bodies do change as we get older. And sometimes you don't have to be old for that to happen.
You don't have to be old.
Right. Our bodies change. So the thing is, we have to do things to make sure that we are allowing and making sure that our money works for us. Probably going to take us into a whole nother show. If we're not investing in the right things. If we're not investing in the right things. If we constantly are putting our money into places that are going to do things that are totally outside of the will of God, and they're doing with the money from the believer. That ain't right. It's not right. But when they get the, when the sinner gets wealth because of what we fail to do and where we decide we put our money and they get wealth, can't be mad at them. Another thing that the scripture doesn't say, it doesn't say how long it's stored up there either. See, the guy that I know, he does what he wants to do. And this is just what I'm about to say is just one of those things that I just believe he'll do. If you just allow it to sit there for too long, God may give it to somebody else.
Dr. Dunlap, stop right there. Please. That is my brother speaking through you. That is how I got on this call tonight. He says, absolutely not, Kim. When God gives you a vision and he gives you instruction, if you don't utilize that instruction, by sunrise, he will have passed that inspiration on to your neighbor. He doesn't give you vision and instruction for you to just harvest it or store it away. When he gives you instruction and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has given you instructions to follow through with the task and for an assigned time, if you are not obedient, he's going to go to the next person that is obedient. You got to. That's how I got on this call tonight, because I have been grieving to the point of hyperventilation. My eyes are swole shut. I couldn't breathe. I was just going through a series. Every time I come, every memory floods me. It brings me to tears. But I find so much peace in being in this community that I said, I don't think I would be disrespectful by coming on tonight. I think he is telling me that this is what I need to do. This is so amazing.
Amen.
Well,
Nate, this is a deep. I just wanted to, you know, definitely say, Kimberly, like, we really do. I thank you, you know, just for the strength and the resiliency that you've shown, because, you know, a lot of people need this. You know what I'm saying? That even when you face hard times, when you make lifestyle changes, it pushes you and it propels you forward to say that, you know, I won't stop. I won't give up. I won't not impact somebody's life because somebody's depending on me. And so I just wanted to tell you that. And also just talk about, you know, Nate, you were talking about the cost of cigarettes. But Mama was talking about just the medicine in and of itself. And, you know, that's been a big thing when you look at how much these medicines, how much they cost. I mean, you have to almost be wealthy just to be able to afford medicine.
Yes.
You know, I was just looking at, they had an article on CNN, and it was saying that they just fined this big pharmaceutical company, I don't know how many millions of dollars, for overpricing people at 85,000%. And I thought I had misread that. But it was overcharging people 85,000%. I have never even heard of 85,000% before until I read this article. You know, and I'm looking at, I mean, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, we know 100%, 1,000, but not 85,000. You know, there's another article that's just saying, I'm talking about over the past decade that that drug companies have made $711 billion in profits, largely due to overcharging Medicare because they don't seek out competitive prices. And guess who pays for it? Taxpayers do. Over 10 years, $711 billion. And so when you think about your health as your wealth, when you think about the money, not just on buying cigarettes, but when you think about the money that you spend because of a decision you make early on in life, because it's not that, you know, Mama said about eating a sweet. You know, you just don't eat a bag of gummy bears, and all of a sudden now, you know, you're dealing with diabetes. But this is something that has been going maybe over a matter of time, or hereditary, or different things like that. But when you think about how much money you have to pay, or how much money taxpayers have to pay, or how much money somebody has to pay in order for us to be able to have the medicine, you know, and God forbid if we have to buy it ourselves, you know, that's a lot of money. And so to not make the lifestyle change, you know, so that when you hit 50 years old, the money that other people are having to pay, you can invest it, or, you know, if you want to buy some red bottom shoes, which I would not recommend spending hundreds and thousands of dollars on when you don't have no stock, like Sister Kimberly said, you know, when you think about the reality of that, just imagine if one person's medicine equates out to be $100,000 a year. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but so does 85,000%. But yet, these are decisions that we have made, and there's an impact on it to where, you know, like Mama said, you know, you go into somebody's house that is just absolutely amazing, but they can't enjoy the prosperity. And things like that shake me to my core when I think about it. And so I'm always saying, you know, I don't have to have cancer to know that it's a deadly disease. I don't have, you know, we don't have to be a prostitute to know that it is that's not a lifestyle that you want to live, because it's one that is full of danger and it's very risky in so many different areas. So I just think that, you know, when we look at how much money and how our health or the lack thereof, no matter what it is, if you're drinking, you know, 10 Coca-Colas a day, talking about your back hurting, you only had like an 8-ounce glass of water, how that will impact your wealth. You know, I just feel like Riley from the Boondocks, he told Santa in one episode, he said, you're going to pay what you owe. We're going to have to pay what we owe unless we decide to make a decision to change our health and our outlook on health. You know, it doesn't mean that you're weird or a square just because you eat cauliflower or you eat carrots. You know, some of the crazy things that people say, and this has just been such a phenomenal show on tonight as we have gone deeper into some of the realities that, you know, sometimes we're not ready to face, but we know that if we don't face them, if we don't allow the seeds of truth to be planted on the inside of us, that somewhere down the line our children will pay for them. And I like what you said, Kimberly, we want to leave an inheritance behind, but sometimes the inheritance is that we are leaving behind for our children's children isn't good. You know, it's poor health, it's debt, it's, you know, I mean, just dysfunctional, chaotic mess, and that's not what God has charged us to do. And when you think about leaving an inheritance, and when you think about the wealth and about health, he said, above all things. I don't know what that means to you, but it means above all things, just that. I don't care if it's a binder or a best-selling book, above all things, this is what I want you to do. And I don't know what father would be so loving enough to say, above all things, I want you to be in good health and I want you to prosper. And to me, that's not waiting until I get to heaven to shout on the other side that I made it. It's while I'm here on this earth so that I can be a living testimony, so that I can continue to be an ambassador for Christ while I'm in the earth realm, living and breathing with other people to share of the goodness of Jesus, to spread the gospel about what he's done in my life. When I thought that I could not make it, here I am still going strong because I decided to make a decision. And so I just think it's important that we understand, you know, and put it into context what God really has for us and what he wants us to experience in this life on this side while we have the opportunity to help impact other people's lives.
Wow. So listen, if we don't get off this, we don't get off tonight, we're going to be talking for about another hour.
Yeah.
But somebody need to hear some of this. So I'll go as long as y'all want to go. This may be for another show, but I'm going to give it to you because I think it really needs to be said. The pharmaceutical companies, a lot of the the medical programs are things of the world. I think everybody can agree.
Yes.
That's not supposed to be what we're operating under as believers. God has given a variety of spiritual gifts to the church. He's given people gifts, and he's given the practical gifts. One of them is the gift of healing. So if you decide that you're going to continue to be a church person and not press in for your healing and just accept whatever the world is going to have to do, such as give you this medication, give you that medication. I'm not saying don't go to the doctors. You know I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this. There's a whole bunch of people that's stunting their wealth because they're not going after their healing and they're just accepting where they are. So some people who just accept where they are, doctor say, I got diabetes. Okay, maybe that's the time where you need to really be pressing in. Who in the world says that you have to live with diabetes the rest of your life?
Amen.
Who's to say that? Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. He didn't say that to one person. He said that to his disciples. We're supposed to be disciples, meaning learners of Christ. We know that God has given healing as a spiritual gift. But then the question is, either Joker's sitting down on a gift, or you ain't going after it. Doesn't mean everybody gets healed. But there's way too many of us as believers that have health challenges. And you can't tell me that God is not sitting there saying, I'm ready to heal you. However, sometimes, oftentimes, for the healing to come through, certain things got to be stopped. Got to stop doing certain things. Like Adia said, drinking 10, 11 Cokes a day. Wonder why your back hurt. But you want God to heal your back, but don't want to stop drinking the Cokes. And drink water like you're supposed to. So everybody that's listening to us, that's been listening to us over these last couple weeks, got to do a self-evaluation of what's going on in your life. Because all this is connected. Adia, you mentioned the scripture, to be in good health.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of that scripture. To prosper and be in good health. Or, depending on what translation, to be in good health and prosper. It don't matter which one came first, the chicken or the egg. Both of them are together in the same person. So prosperity and health go hand in hand. I think I'm done. I'm done. I'm grateful to everybody who has been listening.
Okay, Dr. Dunlap, you can't go. You can't go. We got to do another hour. I was sitting here while you were talking, and Adia hit a nerve with me when she said that $7-11 billion in the pharmaceutical companies being overcharging citizens for products that it's a business. Just let me get it out. It's a big, big business. I am all for science and medical, the advancements that we've made, but just like everything else, they capitalize on people's illness, and they use these pharmaceuticals to keep us enslaved. And I can totally identify. I am so blessed. January of 2016, my doctor took me off of all of my pharmaceutical medications, but I was struggling with my blood pressure, borderline diabetes, cholesterol, you name it. They was giving me a pill. And I was all over the place not being able to regulate or knowing the right time to do what. I just couldn't keep up with the pills. But in going to this all natural organic diet that I started, it teaches you and it reaffirms the fact, Genesis 1:29, that God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you." And the only thing, and y'all know I love going on the internet and researching, every pharmaceutical drug is designed to replicate a living matter. And a living matter is something that God already created, an apple, an orange, a banana, a lemon, a plant, a herb. It's already here. God already promised us that he got, but we overcomplicate things. And $711 billion is an egregious amount of money to be charging people just to maintain health. So, and ultimately what our government is saying is they prefer us to stay sick so that we can keep this $700 billion income going. We have to be empowered. We got to educate ourselves. We can't remain ignorant of the fact everything we need is at hand, and we just got to do the work. We got to do the work and start moving towards our health. Our health is our wealth. The wealth not being resources and riches, but the knowledge on how to attain it. Not only how to attain a sustainable income, but how do we sustain a consistent measure of good health. And we've called it out all throughout this series. We've called it out: accountability, taking action, setting realistic goals, moving forward, getting an accountability partner, being each other's sounding boards, and being willing to take constructive criticism. Mama said, a lady that didn't even know her said, the sugar, the sweets, didn't even know her. And Mama could have jumped bad and said, you don't know me. Don't say nothing to me about what I do. But she was receptive and willing to take an honest look at what she was going through and saying, you know what, I can and I will do better. So I said, I say this every week, and I'm going to say it again, Dr. Dunlap, your ministry will move nations. It is healing, restoring, and giving a zest for life back to so many people. And I'm one of those people that you've impacted, and every week I leave here wanting to be better and do better. And I love you all. Thank you for this delicate, delicate time that I'm in, my family. And I certainly appreciate being a member of the PRF Roundtable family. And God's abundant blessings to you. And may your grandchildren's grandchildren benefit from all that you have sown into me.
Amen.
Oh, well, my goodness.
Yes. Amen. Awesome.
I was going there to say, Sister Kimberly, I was going through my, you know, it's time for my lease, so we have to go through the pharmacy, all the money we put out for pharmacy. It says that this particular medicine costs $29,000, okay? But when, because you have insurance, you only pay $3,069.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I thought? I said, dollar amount is attached to unhealthy habits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about this. What you just said is critical, because a lot of people don't realize it. You get, not you, those of y'all who are listening, people who don't have insurance get charged more, not less. That's what you just read, Mama. That's what my EOB say from the federal government. I'm like, hold on. I've been found this out. Something's wrong with that picture. So, therefore, when you know the game, you should be able to play the game. So, if you know and you hear this, and now this is knowledge that's coming through you by the grace of God, that if you don't have insurance, then you have to pay more. So, what that equates is all these folk that I deal with all the time with credit challenges, which a lot of them are coming from hospital bills and medical bills. And they're paying more for the lack of having insurance and or because their deductibles are so high that they got to pay $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 before their insurance even kicks in. This is what's going on, and these are folk, these are church folk I'm telling you about. These are ministers that I'm telling you about. So it's real. But I go back. We have a course, y'all. We have a course. One of our courses that we offer here at the PRF Teaching Ministry is called Financial Healing. One of the lessons is the key to financial healing. The other one is 10 steps to financial healing. Just think about that. There's some stuff that has to be done. If people understood, and I'm not talking about somebody that has a situation and, you know, it is what it is, but I'm talking about, okay, when you start thinking about and hearing how much people are paying for with this, who have this situation and this situation and this condition, that condition, there has to be something. The light bulb has to come on at some point for you to be able to say, okay, God is speaking to me through that other person's situation for me to get it in, get it right, for me to get it in order. But you have to take it from point A to point B. If you don't have the tenacity, if you don't have the skill, if you don't have the energy, then you got to reach out to somebody. Reach out to us. We will help you the best that we can, or connect you with some resources that can help you. But don't go, just don't keep going like you're going, y'all, I'm telling you. Because it's stunting your wealth. Stunting your wealth. And if you don't think some things are about to get tighter, especially this year. And I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. Call it prophetic, if you will. I'm about to tell you what's about to happen. The world is about to have so much coming out. You better protect your ears, and you better protect your eyes. Because if you listen to a bunch of things, it's only going to put you into a situation where you hear what you hear from people that ain't living according to God's principles.
Good.
And the things that we hear and the things that we see affect our whole physiology. They affect our mind. And you know, like I know, especially Adia, you can attest to this. When people feel a certain way about something, especially in their mind, it eventually starts to taking a toll on their body. So it's coming back full circle. But we have to protect our eyes, we have to protect our ears, and if we're willing to do that, I promise you, if we're willing to do that, then God is going to step in where we can't do it ourselves. So with that, we got about 90 seconds. I think we got about 90 seconds left in the show, but we're going to let it, Adia, just close us out. Thank you all, everybody who has been listening. This is us in rare form tonight, because what we're talking about, your health is your wealth, is too important. So I'm going to turn it over to Adia, and please join us back here next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Catch us on Facebook, PRF Table, or PRF Teaching Ministry. Catch us so you can just be a part of this whole movement that God has just really laid into our hearts. So with that, God bless you. I love you. Kimberly, thank you once again. Mama.
Thank you.
Everybody. So, Adia, God bless you.
All right. Just want to take this time just to pray and just to lift up our sister Kimberly and her family right now. God, we thank you right now, Lord, for this day that you've made. God, we thank you for just being our strength. We thank you for just being our guide. And God, I pray that you will just continue to lift up Kimberly. God, lift up her family right now,
yeah.
God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for her continuing just to come on the show on tonight. God, we thank you for her honoring you, God. We thank you for honoring the legacy that her brother left behind, God. And we thank you for everything that she said, God, for every seed that was planted, for every word that was released out of her mouth, God, under your anointing power, God. I pray right now, God, that you will continue to just bring healing to her, bring healing to her family right now, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord, that when we look to the hills, God, we know where our help comes from, God. And so, God, we look to you right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you that eyes have not heard, nor have ears, eyes have not seen, nor have ears heard, God, the good things, God, that you have placed inside of Kimberly, God. We thank you right now, God, that everything that her brother stood for, God, everything that he believed, God, every good work that he started, God, that it will continue, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you right now for every life that has already been changed, God, that has been impacted, that has been challenged by the words that she has spoken, God. We thank you for her testimony, God, because she has continued to overcome, God. And we thank you right now, God, for her being a blessing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that even as she goes to sleep, God, and even when she finds the tears streaming down her face, God, that she is being strengthened, because your word says that even when we cry, God, and we don't have any words to say, that you, God, you know exactly what it is that we're trying to say, God. And so, God, we thank you right now for covering her, God. We thank you, God, that you are her peace. We thank you, God, that you are her foundation. We thank you, God, that you are her strength, God. We thank you right now, God, that you are everything that she needs, God. We thank you right now, God, for her brother being a pillar in the community, Lord. And we thank you for those that are going to come out, and God, and they're going to show their love, God. We thank you right now, God, that Kimberly will have a report, God, of what you have done, God. We thank you right now, God. We still count it all joy, God, even though this is a time of mourning, God. This is a time of sadness, God. This is a time of sorrow when we lose one our brother, God, when we lose a loved one, God, that is near and dear to our hearts. But, God, we thank you, Lord, that you were with him, God. He was not alone, God, and that you will continue to wrap your arms, God, and wrap them in your grace and your mercy, God, and above all, your love, God, that abounds and surpasses everything, God. We thank you for your right now, God, even though we don't understand, God, even though there are questions, God, that we may not ever get the answers to, God, we thank you right now, God, because you are our deliverer, God. You are the one, God, that strengthens us, God. When people leave us and are not there, it is you, God, that we can call on. So, God, I thank you, Lord, that Kimberly has you to call on, Father God, and that you will be there for her and her family every step of the way, God. And I thank you that this is a celebration of a life that was lived to the fullest, a life that you ordained, a life, God, that had it not been for you, God, he could not even be here. So, God, we thank you and we praise you, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is the essence of PRF. It's not about us coming on here every Thursday. It's not about the workshops. It's about the family. So we love you, Kimberly.
We love you.
We thank you.
We love you.
We know God is going to do some mighty things, y'all and your family. And just know that we are definitely here for you. And thank you for just even being a part of our family here at PRF. So
thank you.
I may have said it before, but again, thank you everybody for just everything that we are able to bring to you and for what you receive and what you take back to wherever you are, all of you who are listening. We'll talk to y'all next week. God bless you. Peace.